Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Not bad. It's starting to feel a little more like spring, isn't it? A flirtation with even summer. Yeah, sure seems like it's been somewhat of a long winter for us, on and off. Nonetheless, on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, we'd like to share a reflection on lostness, I guess, is maybe the best way I could describe it. Here at Neighbors of Hope in the Life Change Program, we're getting ready to launch our most recent study, and that's going to be looking at Henry Nouwen's work, The Return of the Prodigal Sons. So that biblical narrative comes out of Luke's Gospel chapter 15, but there's a couple other smaller stories on lostness that precede the story of the lost sons. So I know we'll be looking more on the lost sons over the next couple weeks, but today I'd like to preface that by looking at these two other stories. All right, one's about the lost sheep, one's about the lost coin. So if I could have someone read from Luke chapter 15, 1 through 10, and cover those two stories for us, I'd appreciate that.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Very good. Okay. All right. A couple short stories. The third one in Luke 15 would then be about the prodigal sons. So let's look at these two. What kind of jumps out at you? And I'd really like to challenge you, encourage you to think about yourself being lost. And in a sense, what does it mean to be found? Yeah, we'll just go there. Let's start there. So,
all right, me, the one common thing to all three stories, well, in the Message version of the Bible, you celebrate a lot. I don't care if it's the sheep or the son or the coin, they all end up with this big celebration. And it's a big part, not just, oh, you're back, okay, cool. No, like, all out everything. You get the white robe, the gold ring on your finger, the fattened calf. She finds it, it says about how you, you know, the angels celebrate, over, turn everything over to find you. It's a celebration. It's an event. I think in America we get so lost in all the things we celebrate. All these little holidays, even holidays that don't even make sense, like National Cheese Day. Like everybody, like, we get, you know what I mean? We get so excited, but this is a celebration. This is an all-out, everything's going out, like a wedding almost, or like a, you know, a graduation from high school, all because they just found you. Yeah.
So follow that up a little bit. I agree with it. It does emphasize the rejoicing, the celebration. I think it's interesting in both those stories that immediately once the lost sheep or coin is found, they run to the neighbors to let everybody know. The invitation to celebrate with me on what I found.
My thing too, like, well, it's the coming together of that community, like God's number one agenda, but it's that complete, that wholeness. It's not right when you just got the 99. We'll be so bold to even get that one and then tell everybody to come, you know, that's what it's all about. Jesus is always making things complete, whole. He's not leaving nobody out. He's including everybody. Go to all these lengths, even death, to make sure everybody's part of this. And I'll celebrate that. That's what it's about, it's that something's just not right with that one coin on it. When we find it, we celebrate because now it's the whole thing. You know, there's no rest till it's done. And that's how we're supposed to be the same way. Exhaust everything, no rest. Give it all. Not just 99. You know?
Yep.
He just said, boy, go get that lost one. You know, throw it on your shoulder and bring it back. You know? Most people are good with the 99. I got this 99 sheep, you know, the one, whatever. Let the little black sheep go. You know, no. That's how much our God loves us.
You know? Good.
I like how they do the contrast of... So the way I think of repentance usually is like this big, long, drawn-out thing I have to do to reconcile and part of the forgiveness process. But he talks, the image here is like Zach said, the little sheep on his shoulders and walk back and he can celebrate about it, right? It doesn't give me the same image of repentance as I think. It gives me a better... So repentance to me always feels like the struggle, right? So when I ask for forgiveness and I want to repent, I got to go through all these steps and these rituals and stuff, which is, I guess, is part of it. But I always forget that it's not just me. You know what I mean? The repentance is a community thing from the very beginning. It makes me wonder. Put myself in the sheep's clothing. That doesn't
sound good. I thought you were going to say shoes, and I'll go, I
but anyways,
he's going to wear a shoe.
Like, did this sheep really want to be found? Did he? Jesus just went out to look for him. Well, I mean, it doesn't even say that, but don't you go and look for the one, and then you throw him on your shoulders?
Well, sometimes these sheep didn't even know he's lost.
Yeah,
he's
no,
so common,
that's
the way it is.
Yeah.
Some people are from birth, we think it's okay to. You're born into like
so
drug addiction, selling drugs, treating women a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You're lost, but you don't even know it. This is just the way, hey, this is the way I was born, you know, in the beginning.
So it's again, know? I've heard it many times. I found God.
Didn't know God was lost.
Yeah, I didn't know he was hiding. I'm very sure he found you. Because again, when I started having a relationship with God, the repentance thing still, I didn't know what that was. How do you repent from something you don't know you're doing wrong? So my whole life, 29 years of my life, that I was doing whatever I wanted to do, I definitely didn't immediately, even after being baptized, it wasn't a repentance thing. It was not in my mind. It didn't even begin intellectually. It was more or less like I was going through these things because something inside of me, I knew I was supposed to be doing something different. Now the repentance is beginning. It's not like, forgive me. That's when the repentance starts? No, it's literally like Jesus has to find you, in a sense. God has to find you.
Well, and I think that's kind of the crux of the matter here. These are three stories about God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are three stories, well, two that we read today, but including the prodigal, of God rejoicing over the lost being found,
mm-hmm.
of God's desire, right, to find the loss. Well, I think that's kind of what does that mean to you? That God will tear up the floor of a house to find you if you're the coin. That God, you know, will go out and find you as the lost sheep. That we'll see when we look at the two brothers and the prodigal, right? That God says, look at everything I have is yours. And then God welcomes you with open arms and no judgment. You know, when you come back home, these are stories of grace. And he tells the story, he's kind of like, well, wouldn't you do this? And if that's what you would do, you would go look for your lost sheep. You would look for your lost coin. Right? Which does imply that, you know, these people aren't necessarily that well off. Right, because I think what you were saying, Zach, is like, well, if I got, you know, if I got all these sheep or I have all this money, you know, it'd be like us dropping a penny in the parking lot of Walmart, right? You're going to chase it underneath the Ford F-150 where it rolls. You're going to get down on your knees, crawl, and grab that penny.
Yeah.
We're like, no, you know, I got a pocket full of change and a couple of greenbacks in my wallet. I'm not going to get on the ground and look for a penny. Well, then how much are we really looking like God? For one thing. I mean, won't you look for the coin? Well, how much more will God look for you? You know, so what does it mean to be lost and found by that grace? I mean, what's that mean to you? What does it mean to you, Mark?
It was frightening.
It's frightening, okay? How so?
In other words, I had been resisting it for years. I felt the call. But I was my own worst enemy. I said, no. I was like, I don't want it. I don't want to believe that I can be loved that much for nothing in return. That kind of love is free.
Well, there is a cost.
For
that's part of that repentance, right? That's part of that transformation we talk about here,
right?
If you're gonna walk on that, you know, then odds are that love that found you really doesn't want you smoking that crack anymore.
Right.
So yeah.
But the grace is free. The love. It's
freely given.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's why I think these three stories come right on the cusp of Jesus just talking about the cost of discipleship in chapter 14.
Yeah.
All right? And I think deep down inside we know what that cost is, which is we're just not ready to follow through with what that cost
is. That's what the fear comes in.
And minimally the resistance, yes.
Yeah. Good word.
So this cost, I see Jesus take this sense of, we talk about cost, we talk about coins and sheep and worth, value. I see Jesus really take these dynamics in our human mind and break it down and say, hey, here, these things that are of worth, this is you. You know, it kind of makes me realize my own worth. Why would he search for me if I wasn't valuable? It makes me realize my own worth.
Yeah, that's part of it.
I also like there's a little bit of a
that's huge.
Smart alecky thing going on here.
Sure.
Very beginning, it makes the clear exclusion of, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them, which implies we're not sinners. And Jesus responds with saying, I tell you that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Again, they don't feel like, in their minds, I'm good. And he's saying, I think he's trying to include everybody. I think it's in his roundabout way, trying to be like, look, you guys are the same. So you might as well start to repent.
Yeah, he's his sarcasm's pretty subtle. But you know, in 14, you know, unless you pick up your cross and follow me, right? Unless you get, and it ends with, you know, unless you give up all your possessions, right? This isn't some empty your bank accounts and get rid of all your clothes and start it's not to that. Possession means all that stuff that you've been really replacing me with.
Yeah, but
sometimes it is, like the Pharisees, it's the self-righteousness. Alright, we really replace Jesus with our own self-righteousness.
So I think of it like...
In the name of Jesus!
when people talk about giving up their possessions and stuff, I take that word possession and we think of something that we're holding in our hand, and I try to think of it in a more spiritual way, like a demonic possession. Whereas that's never talked about as like I'm holding this demon in my hand. It's the thing that's possessing me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So these possessions of ours are just that. They are things that are controlling us from the inside. It's a want. It's a need from the inside out that controls what we do. That's the possession.
It's a good insight, and it's pretty accurate for all of us. I mean, the biblical, we talk about, that's idolatry. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you sharing with our listening audience today on this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until next time, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.